WVQC LP Cincinnati.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
95.7 FM.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WVQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WVQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WVQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man and the Dope Boy Pot and Hash, featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WVQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is at HempRock.com, and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
Joining us, stay tuned, cause the best is yet to come. Mother, sister, brother, father, get on the bus, together we are one. Cause I'm not hearing on the radio or the TV that it's getting better every day. It's our time and it's the only time we got, and that's all I have to say.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war
isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Krim.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Williams, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
This is Bryce Wiener, and you are now on the front lines in the war for your mind with Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, WBQC LP Cincinnati. Broadcasting on 95.7 FM and WBQC.org, the voice of the Queen City. Shine on, Cincinnati, and stand by for further instructions from the officer in charge, the Happy Hemptress.
All right, that's exactly who we are, and I am the Happy Hemptress, and over there rolling the pot, of course, is the Burn Man today. Uh-oh. Oops. Anyway, and of course it is WVQCLP here downtown at Media Bridges, and don't forget, we always want members. I've actually kind of forgot to talk about that. Of course, there has been some shows that we've not been able to do for various different reasons, but we are back now, and we want you to be a member. Of course, $30 will get you a membership or more. You can do it that way, too. But we do have a lot of things to get to in today's show, and then, of course, we'll be back in tomorrow at the same time for 2 hours. And but I got some headlines to cover, and then here in just a little bit, we are going to air a lecture that actually we were going to air last Monday, Burn Man. And as some of you guys know, that we were having some issues here on the signal and the internet signal going out. It actually was Time Warner's fault, so we'll blame it on Time Warner. But so we did not get to do our show last Monday, and the show that I had ready is what we're going to air today. Now, what that, of course, is, Burn Man went over a couple of Mondays ago to SSDP meeting. Over at UC, of course, that would have been the Students for Sensible Drug Policy, the group of kids at the UC campus that are part of the national organization. They are just rocking over there at UC now. And how many kids showed up a couple of weeks ago when you went over there?
Oh, I say at least 25.
At least 25. Well, that is fantastic. Of course, the lecture speaker that day was, of course, retired Cincinnati police officer Howard Ratz, or Rotz, I'm not sure. Rotz? Sorry if we get his name wrong. He is a speaker on behalf of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And again, he did a nice long lecture about the drug war and why it is a ridiculous waste of time and lives.
He was a police captain.
He was a police captain on the Cincinnati Police Force. And so you videotaped that, of course, for Hemp Rock TV, and you already have some links up on YouTube, too.
Yeah, you can see the whole thing on YouTube.
Absolutely. Now, that's, of course, if you have time to sit down and watch videos and all that stuff. But and it's in different segments, so you can watch it at different times.
Right, but if you just typed in Howard Rantz, R-A-H-T-Z. T-Z.
And, yeah. Anyway, in the meantime, what I did is I took a portion of that lecture and I edited it so we can hear the audio of it, the highlights, of course, of that. So stay tuned. In a few minutes, we'll be airing that throughout the rest of the show. The song at the top of the hour, of course, was Dreadlock Dave's Finally Waking Up. Now, I know that a lot of us are finally waking up, but apparently some of us are still asleep or asleep enough to where they want to create nightmares for other people. So that's, of course, some of the things that we're going to talk about in the headlines today. I want to go through some of the things that are out there in the news. Now, before I move on to that, I want to talk about some really cool things that I've found out about, too. A friend of mine does remodeling and stonework and all kinds of stuff up in the Michigan area. And yes, I did say stonework. And yes, he does get stoned, but he also works with stones. In his remodeling of stuff, he's always looking for different products and, you know, things that you need to remodel houses. And he was looking for some paints for a remodel that he's doing, and he comes across from Martha Stewart. Get this, Burn Man. Martha Stewart, in her paint collection, has a color called hemp.
Yeah, we've done reported on this.
I know, I sent that to you a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't know if you got that out because I didn't have a chance to listen to that show yet. But for the folks that missed it, I pulled it back up again because it's such a cool thing. So if you're out there wanting to paint your house and you want to have your walls look like hemp.
But hemp comes in so many colors.
Well, the natural color of hemp. You know, and that's kind of what it is. It's kind of an off-white, off-beige. Because that is what most natural hemp, the color of natural hemp, looks like. It's kind of a twine color, unless you dye it. So if you want your walls to look like the color of hemp, you can get Martha Stewart's paint.
I want bud color.
You what? Oh, bud color. Green, purple would be nice. Absolutely.
Red hair is going to fit.
Exactly.
Probably wallpaper for that.
Exactly. Now, this is coming out of Seattle. You know, the biggest hemp fest in the world takes place in August in Seattle, Washington. Yep, Seattle, Washington. It is that state. And it appears, once again, the city is going to try to stop their hemp fest. So they are suing the city, and of course, in the end, they will get the permit. They always get the permit. And so if you want to help them, of course, I guess you can contact the city of Seattle and tell them, give them that permit. But it says Seattle Hemp Fest has filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court against the city of Seattle, as well as its mayor, director of the Seattle Department of Transportation, director of Seattle Center, and chairperson of the Special Events Committee. The suit seeks relief under the U.S. Constitution and the Washington Constitution and was filed in an effort to obtain the 2011 permit to produce the annual free speech rally to reform America's drug laws prohibiting cannabis. So we will keep you up on that and let you know what happens and whether or not, of course, the city does what they're supposed to do and gives them that permit. And then if they do, of course, they will go out there. I think it's about the second or third weekend in August. We'll let you know the date of that soon. But let's see. I'm going to jump over to this. This is coming straight out of Ohio, folks. And, you know, the human race, Burn Man, I believe, takes, of course, two steps forward and one step back. People like ourselves, we take the two steps forward, and then idiots, like one of our representatives, I'll get his name here in a minute, his name's Tim something, has put in a bill in our Senate that would make it mandatory that if somebody is trying, here, I'm just going to read this. This is, I got to make it bigger. I'm blind, folks, so I'm going to make it a little bit bigger here on my computer. This is number 1A, except as it provided in division such and such of this section, controlled substance problem means that an individual, oh, I got to make it smaller now, I can't see it. Sorry about that, folks. Okay, an individual is determined by a chemical test to have a concentration of any of the controlled substances specified or metabolites of such a controlled substance in an individual's urine that equals or exceeds any of the applicable levels established in that division. Now, I won't go back to that part, but it says an individual shall not... wait a minute. I'll tell you what. Here we go. This is to enact a revised code to establish a drug testing requirement for adults who apply for need-based programs that provide cash assistance, medical assistance, housing assistance, food assistance, or energy assistance. Now, what this means, folks, is let's say, for instance, you lose your job and you have a family, and the only way that you can either save your place where you're living or get food on your plate is to go down to the Hamilton County Welfare Department. And as soon as you get down there, you go, well, I'm a father, and here's my wife, and we have three kids, and we both lost our jobs, and the economy is sucking right now, and the rich people don't care about us, so we need help. And I have paid my taxes into your department, and now I need help. What do you have to do? Oh, here's a cup, sir. Pee in this cup to prove to me that you're not a marijuana smoker, and then we'll give you some of your money back. If, for instance, somebody has an outrageous Duke Energy bill and they have low income, they can apply for what's called HEAP, heating assistance. Now, if this bill passes, you'll go to HEAP and you go, I can't pay Duke because, you know, they're a ripoff to begin with. Don't get me started against Duke Energy. Talk about a scam. We're the only people that can give you electric, so we're going to screw you around. And have the biggest profits every year that we've ever had in the years past. Meanwhile, the economy's crashing, people are losing everything, and Duke Energy's making more profits every year than they've ever made before prior years. Do you need to do the math, or do I need to do it for you? They're a scam. Now, if you need help with your bill, and you go to HEAP, if this bill passes, you'll have to pee in a cup to get your own funds back that you've paid into taxes.
States are broke anyway. They need some kind of excuse. Might as well pick on the pot smokers.
Well, that's it. Now we're
watch here in a couple months. The states are going to go broke just like the big corporations did.
Yeah, and
he's running out.
Yeah, and I have said it for years, Burn Man, and Cincinnati City Council has proved my point that when the budget crashes and there's no money, guess what they're going to have to do? End the drug war. So, although we're taking two steps forward in some areas, like Cincinnati went back to the decrim of the state of Ohio, now guys like this are going to take us a step backwards again. So, I mean, what is he going to do when all these poor people out there that can't pay their stuff and losing electric and their, you know, I guess then when the kids are in the house without electric, then the cops are going to come in and take the children away from those people. Because they can't take care of their kids. That's the next step.
Yeah, and they got a reason to take your kids. You ain't got your power on.
That's right.
You can't take care of your kids.
That's right.
That happened. The state gets to take them now.
Yeah, and then who's going to pay for them?
And of course, the state will, and they'll pay the foster care people a couple $1,000 a month per kid, but they won't give that to the parents themselves.
Right. Yeah. Talk about a mess in this country. What a mess. And it's all for the children, you know.
Yeah, everything's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's a big excuse.
Yeah, big excuse for them. And my question is just exactly who's paying this guy's pocket bill? Who's putting money in his pocket? Oh, you think maybe the drug testing companies are paying this guy to do this? I bet the drug testing companies aren't in the red. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, they're doing real good.
I bet they've got major
profits.
No,
with me, I refuse to pee in a cup.
Oh, I refuse to pee in a cup as well. I'll say what John Hartman used to say, guy that used to run North Coast Normal here in Ohio. The only urine test I'm going to give is a taste test.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. So we'll keep you up on what's going on with that. I know that there's some other states that have tried to pass these things, and according to what I have read, they have been struck down in every state because it's unconstitutional. So we'll see what happens here in the state of Ohio.
Well, we have a drug test where I work at 420 Appliance Repair. got to know how to roll a joint.
Well, I have drug tests. If somebody wants to come work with Hemp Rock, they have to fail a test.
Well, you pass the test before 20 Appliance Repair.
If you can roll, even if you use a roller, it doesn't matter.
It's 420appliancerepair.com.
That's right. Absolutely. So we will keep you up on that. Now, you know, I just don't. Oh, before I forget, I want to tell you, I think it's in the Swift building again today. And I had the browser open. I'll tell you, I don't know where it went. Sometimes when you close things and they open back up, you lose stuff. And unfortunately, I do not have a connection at the moment. So I'm going to go into one of my folders. And I am going to tell you what's going on with the SSD peers today. Okay, folks? This is today. Oh, by the way, happy Valentine's Day, Burn Man. Happy VD Day. I hope you all get your special VD present out there today.
Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, and you know, we could talk about that.
They put an end to alcohol prohibition. It's probably what it's going to take.
Well, you know that this is already going on. There are people, now maybe not.
Oh, yeah, way larger scale now.
That's right.
Everyone's used to it now.
They're desensitized to it, that's right. It's like, oh, somebody else got killed again. You know, so yeah, first of all,
someone threw a grenade in a club down in Acapulco this weekend.
Did I miss that in the news?
Yeah, a whole bunch. I forget how many people died.
You know, I just had a whole discussion with my cousin the other day. He likes to go down to Cancun with his company, take the employees down, and they have a good time. And I warned him, do not go. I said, go to Vegas, go to San Francisco, go somewhere else. Do not go south of the border. Right now, as much as I love Mexico and I want it to be a safe place, unfortunately, due to our drug war that has been sold to them, the violence is out of hand and it's coming across the border. And so the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to talk about that. It is an example of a drug war and what happens when the thugs get all the guns and want to take over turfs. And yes, folks, it was a drug war. Prohibition of alcohol is and was a drug war. And I say is because in some places it's still dry. And, oh yeah, who is it that wants to keep those little cities and counties dry down south? Oh, the bootleggers.
Yeah, they're the ones that stand to make the most money from.
That's exactly right. So now, you know, of course the scenario is thugs and gangsters become politicians. Or pay the politicians off to keep their commodities and their products illegal. And why would they want to do that? Because it keeps the profits up, folks. It inflates prices. So instead of a bag of pot costing $20 like it did 30 years ago, a bag of pot today, crappy pot, costs $100,
$150. I used to get it for $10 in San Diego.
Well, that's because you're older than me. That's because you're older than me.
And right on the Mexican border.
Yeah, that's true. When I started buying pot, I was about 14, and my first bag of pot was $20 an ounce. And it was some really good Colombian laughing pot. I know everybody remembers that our age.
Yeah, I remember that.
Everybody goes, how come you can't get no laughing pot anymore? Well, you do. You're just so used to it, you don't laugh as much anymore. It's in the beginning when you're not really sure what it is, and you're like, hee-hee-hee. And sometimes, you know, I can remember when my sister used to get high. She doesn't anymore, but when she's 6 years older than me. I remember I was 14, I bought my first bag, and me and her and a girl we knew from our dad's grocery store, we sat around in the girl's kitchen getting high, and we sat there for an hour giggling and giggling, looking at each other. Why are we laughing? I don't know. And started laughing all over again. Everybody remembers those times, I'm sure. Absolutely. But anyway, before I forget again, I want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on over at UC today. Another Students for Sensible Drug Policy meeting. They're doing this about every 2 weeks. This is at 5 p.m. today in the Swift Building, 619. It is for special V-Day. So if you're into psychedelics, you'll want to go. They are showing the documentary LSD, Problem Child and Wonder Drug. This is produced by MAPS, one of our favorite organizations, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. If anybody remembers, last year I went to their conference and it was a wonderful experience. Now, of course, the description of this is LSD, Problem Child and Wonder Drug captures the fascinating story of LSD as it is eloquently told by Dr. Albert Hoffman, the 100-year-old sage scientist. Of course, he's passed on last year. Who brought LSD into the world with interviews and presentations by Rick Doblin, the director of MAPS, Alex Gray, wonderful psychedelic artist, Ralph Metzner, a psychedelic leader, Carl Ruck, Goa Gill, and others. This historic message from the father of LSD is a timeless relic and an immediate source of inspiration. The story is told through an account of the 2006 International LSD Symposium in Basel, Switzerland. At the now legendary conference, 80 speakers and 2,000 participants gathered for 3 days in honor of Dr. Hoffman's 100th birthday and to hear Dr. Hoffman speak about his life, his discovery, and his thoughts on the psychedelic experience. It was also an occasion for leading doctors, researchers, artists, and thinkers in the psychedelic field to present their work. By documenting this historic symposium, LSD, Problem Child and Wonder, Drug reveals the scientific, medical, artistic, and spiritual issues at the core of the psychedelic debate. You can find more information about the film at maps.org. Look that up. But if you want to see it, it is a free showing today at the Swift Building over at the UC campus. Again, this is from the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Now, we're going to jump very quickly into what we're doing. We're going to go into a song from some local folks. They are called the DFI. So go ahead and roll track number 6. We're going to cut to some other station information and then right into the Students for Sensible Drug Policy lecture from LEAP speaker Howard Ratz from 2 Mondays ago. Check that out. Hear what a local Cincinnati police officer, retired captain, believes about our drug war. It's Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress. The Burn Man's over there rolling it so you all can smoke it up. And it's WVQC. We'll be back in about a half hour. So tune in.
Hey, you wanna get high, man? That's how they do. They got wooden balls, man.
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
Goddamn, I was in there, man. I never had no dope like that before in my life, man. That's the heaviest shit I ever smoked, man. I mean, I smoked a lot of shit before, man. But goddamn, man, that's heavy shit.
My man Skippy ain't a hippie, but he smokes a lot of herbs. Sticky purple chronic flower, higher grades are preferred. In the freezer there is Tupperware, where red hairs are abundant. He prepares for supper there, the aroma is pungent. You might find him out at Vinny's, looking grinny, smoking stimmy, chasing Penny round the house. She refused to smoke any. Can he pass the joint already? Freddy, pass the spliff already, it must be heady. Got that cat giggling steady, and all I wanna do is take one nice big long pull and hold back the cough despite my lungs being full. Close to lit, we ghost the hit till our eyes go red. Skippy smiled across the table, and this is what he said.
Roll a joint, pass it down the line. Take a token, hold your throat, and blow your f***ing mind. Roll a joint, pass it down the line. Take a token, hold your throat, and blow your f***ing mind.
Yo. Now let me tell you something about my dog, my ace. We was chillin' at his place trying to make some tapes. He said for 60 papes I got the illest skunk ever. He said this shit so good it'll put divorced parents back together. I said whatever, pass the sack for a sample. He broke me off a pinch,
I was looking for a handful.
But little did I know,
it only took a little dro
to avoid the pigeon coops and jumping out windows. I only took one hit, my head split. Who's on munchies? I want lemon heads, vanilla cokes, and something crunchy. The dog hand me the keys cause I'm driving. We'll hit up the Habib's, they're open late like a driving. I sparked another bowl, I felt it in my soul. I stepped outside my essence, passed myself another bowl. This shit really working. My mind is 4077, it's Herb is Captain Kirkin. Hit up the gemstone for the Cheech and Chong collection. While you're at it, get some flicks for the chicks that will be boning. And get some videos for the moaning and groaning. Yeah, that's the ticket. I felt like a star. I went to press the gas and I forgot to start the car. Shit. See, kids, this shit with your head.
Uh-huh.
I passed the bowl back and this is what I said.
Man, I mean, I smoked a lot of shit before, man.
Roll a joint, pass it down the line. Take a token, hold your throat, and blow your f***ing mind. Roll a joint, pass it down the line. Take a token, hold your throat, and blow your f***ing mind.
In that shit, man. I never had no dope like that before in my life, man. That's the heaviest shit I ever smoked, man. I mean, I smoked a lot of shit before, man. But goddamn, man, that's heavy shit.
Kind of grabbed you by the boo-boo, don't.
WVQC. Radio for the people, by the people.
C
Cincinnati musicians, interested in submitting your music to be included in our local music library? CDs can be mailed to WVQC at 1100 Ray Street, Cincinnati, Ohio 45202, 513-651-4171, extension 11, or email to wvqcprogramming@mediabridges.org. Radio edits only, please.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's
95.7 FM.
All right, thank you. First off, I'm really proud to be here. I've met some SSDP people last year at Kent State. There was a regional conference I was at, the University of Iowa and Case Western, and I know on a night like tonight, you guys would probably think of 100 things you'd rather be doing than sitting here listening to this guy drone on about drug policy. I'll tell you a little bit about how I got here. When I got out of graduate school here at UC, I got a job in the first methadone program, one of the first methadone programs that were being put up around the country. It was in the middle of the heroin epidemic, and Vietnam was kind of winding down, and there was a big concern about service people coming back with a huge heroin problem, which didn't materialize. We can talk about that later, but I moved on from there to Council on Alcoholism, and that was a kind of neat time too, because there was money coming in from the state, so one of our jobs was to try to arrange treatment programs, services for alcoholics and their families. So we started the drop-in center, halfway houses, programs for women, tried to set up prevention programs in schools. We set up the first family intervention program, which you now see on A&E, which is a nice technique. And first services for children of alcoholics in the city. So at age 40, I decided to make a career change and went to the Cincinnati Police Academy and became a Cincinnati police officer. And I got out of the academy, and Cincinnati was in the midst, like all the rest of the city, all the rest of the country, in the midst of kind of the crack epidemic. And I worked in Over the Rhine, and Winton Terrace, Northside, Camp Washington, and learned a lot of lessons about crack and drug use. Spent most of my career at the police academy, was made commander down there. Wrote a couple books on policing, one on community policing, one on police use of force. And so any of you guys are one of the 43 people that bought either of those books, thank you very much. At the end of my career, I got appointed to be in charge of the vice squad. And the good news is, as I look around, I really don't recognize anybody here. I was in charge of citywide drug enforcement. And at that time, Cincinnati Police, we had basically two different kinds of programs working on drug enforcement. We were part of a cooperative group that did, it was called Regional Narcotics Unit, and they were targeting big distributors, people who were bringing in trailer trucks full of dope. And The unit we had was called the street corner unit, and what we did was try to target folks on street corners that were buying and selling. So we would do buy bust, where we, you know, go up and buy drugs from somebody, and the second after they sold them, we'd snatch them up. Or we'd do jump outs on people buying and selling drugs, and we arrested thousands of people. So when I got down there, we decided to try something a little bit different and believe that from a business perspective, there's these major traffickers and wholesale people selling to the, somebody's giving it to these guys on the street to sell. So we thought we'd target the wholesale level. And we created a special unit, got some really talented cops, and so we start looking for wholesale folks that had kind of in that niche. And over the next several months, we made record bust the drugs, we seized records amounts of money, and the news media was always very excited, and we'd have one of these busts, and the news media would find out about it, and we'd do one of these things, which I know every one of you guys has seen on TV, where we'd pile the drugs there, and the weapons that we got, and the money, and I was one of the people standing there like this, and everybody thought it was really cool. And I would always ask my guys after one of these, did we have any impact? Are there people walking around the streets of Cincinnati looking for drugs that can't find them? And the answer was always no. And I came to believe that no matter how many people we bust, there always seems to be somebody else. And you'll see at least weekly in the newspaper, on the news, where Mexican authorities, DEA, or some local police agency bust the latest drug kingpin. That's always the words they use, the drug kingpin. And do you think it ever has an impact on trafficking? It really doesn't, because there's always somebody ready to step up and take that person's place. Same thing at the street level. We would go out, we'd have these sweeps, and we would, you know, target these little knuckleheads on the corner selling drugs, and, you know, we'd arrest 80 or 100 a day. And what do you think? What happened? Next day? Might be a little bit better, but a week later, it was like we'd never been there. And there's never a shortage of people who are willing to step up and take that role of selling, either at the major level or at the street corner level. So, I'm going to talk tonight about what I think we can do. And you guys are all here for a variety of motivations. And, you know, I don't really, we all got different ways of coming about this. My major motivation is I'm trying to cut down on the violence that's associated with the illegal drug market. In early January, at a place called Falcon Lake, which is a little strip between Mexico and the U.S., very popular tourist place, a man from Chicago named David Hartley and his wife are jet skiing on the lake, which was a common practice. There's some ruins there. Tourists would jet ski and look at these ruins. And so that particular day, for one reason or another, they run across some trafficking folks who, for whatever reason, take exception to them, open fire from speedboats on these people on jet skis, killing David Hartley, and his wife flees to the U.S. side. The Mexican authorities, a little bit concerned about the impact on the tourism business, appoint a guy named Ronaldo Flores, one of their top homicide investigators, to investigate this case of David Hartley. 3 days after the big press conference announcing that Detective Flores is going to take this over, Detective Flores doesn't show up at work, and they can't find him at home. And 2 days after that, his head is delivered to a military base inside a suitcase. 10 or 11 days ago in Acapulco, a place we're all a little bit familiar with, 27 murders in one day. There's now stretches of Mexico that are devoid of law enforcement because they've all been killed, and the typical practice is beheading. and nobody is willing, thank God, you know, nobody's willing to step up and be the next victim. Can you really blame them? The international drug business is a $500 billion a year business, bigger than the auto industry, bigger than gas and oil combined. The world's number one supply of poppies for heroin comes from Afghanistan, which had record crops 2006, 2007, on up till the date we have statistics. A lot of that money is going to support Taliban insurgents. Mexican traffickers now control most of the cocaine and methamphetamine and marijuana coming into this country. So the question for me is, what do we do about this violence, not only internationally, but locally? And I've been on more than I can count cases here in Cincinnati, and an awful lot of our homicides are what cops refer to as drug deals gone bad. That's kind of a euphemistic way of putting what's often a really tragic situation, where people come to certain locations and they're there to buy drugs, and they're like sheep coming down there. And these guys, people are in the drug business at the local level. They maintain their hold on that business because of their willingness and ability to use violence. And we've got parades of victims showing up to buy drugs, and too often they get shot, killed, raped, beat up. It's not a pretty picture, and you know, everybody's always sorry, but one of the most dangerous things you can do is enter that illegal drug market, become a purchaser in that market. So what do we do about it? I'm going to say the L word for marijuana. Who can tell me how many countries in the world have legalized marijuana? Anybody got a guess?
Zero.
Yeah, absolutely zero. There's a few that have decriminalized it, and we sort of confuse that with legalization. And I'm going to tell you, I'm for legalization. A lot of you are interested in the medical marijuana issue, and I know there's a lot of energy around that. People think it's a great thing. To me, it's a half step. I mean, it's like making out with somebody on the couch when you're interested in something more. Why are we even thinking about medical marijuana? Okay? Full-blown legalization. And that moves it from an illegal to a controlled regulatory system. And we can talk a little bit more about how that can be set up. The major reason why it's so important is that 60% of the revenue that supports the illegal cartels comes from marijuana. So, in one fell swoop, we can steal 60% of these folks' revenue, the revenue they're using to kill each other, to kill other people. How you guys, some of you are involved in organizations, businesses, how many businesses do you know could withstand the loss of 60% of their revenue and just keep on? It would be a tremendous blow to them. I'm just going to make a note to myself to talk a little bit about California and medical marijuana and the impact on the illegal market. So, take it out. Now, I say that my motivation in talking about this is, again, concern about violence internationally and locally. This is going to be legalized, and I may not be around to see it, but you guys certainly will. It's something that's coming, and I think it's just a matter of time. I used to work for an old captain when I started the police department. If you ever moved away from the company line, he would call you in and he'd say, "Son, you're trying to go northbound on a southbound train." And that's what I think. The drug war is coming to a halt, particularly with marijuana. It's going to happen. The day after it happens, don't look for Howard Roth in line to buy any of this. Okay? I don't care about it. Okay? I'm not going to use it, but what I want to do, we got to cut cut the dollars away from these people. Okay. How do we know that that's going to work? California was the first state that implemented medical marijuana in 1996. So we've had a real-life lab experiment in what went on. Medical marijuana, the case is people were suffering from these horrendous, horrible diseases, and so marijuana becomes a palliative for those folks. Who would withhold anything from somebody in this situation? Terminal cancer patients, people with MS, would any of us say, if it's going to make you feel better, go for it. Who cares? Okay? And that's the way it was originally marketed, as cancer patients, multiple sclerosis, people with serious disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, that this might be helpful to them. Well, what happened as time went by, these dispensaries are set up, people are prescribing medical marijuana for a variety of conditions, and cancer and multiple sclerosis have gone, we've gone from cancer, multiple sclerosis to insomnia, anxiety, athlete's foot, jock rash. I mean, now you can get medical marijuana for almost all of that. So the number of people involved in this business has skyrocketed. The products that are involved, it's not just smokable, it's in tinctures, lotions, all kinds of food stuff. There's one chain in California called the Pharmacy, F-A-R-M. They have a full-time pastry chef whose specialty is putting marijuana into all these concoctions for people to buy. So with so many people, what we've got now economically is a gray market in marijuana. Okay? What's happened economically is that this has hurt the cartels more than all the law enforcement in the world has done. They have lost serious revenue because of this medical marijuana, which shows to me that legalization can have a big impact on these guys. Okay, and I think we should go ahead and do it. How would medical marijuana look, or how would legalized marijuana look? And the answer is we can go back to the end of Prohibition in the early 1930s. Are you guys familiar with the 10th Amendment to the Constitution? 10th Amendment to the Constitution says all those responsibilities not previously enumerated in the Constitution resort to the states. And at the end of Prohibition, what happened was each state made a decision how they're going to handle alcohol. And about 10% of this country is still dry today. You know, in certain places, Kentucky, Texas is a big state. You can't buy any booze. The rules vary. But each state was allowed to set up their own system. At the end of marijuana prohibition, I would suspect we're going to have the same kind of system. It may be at 7-Eleven, we're going to have operating hour restrictions, we're going to have advertising restrictions, we're going to have labeling, we're going to have age restrictions. All the things that occur now with alcohol, we're going to borrow from and do with marijuana. Okay? Nobody is saying we hand out this stuff to 15-year-olds or 12-year-olds or whatever. It's an adult choice, much the same as alcohol. In fact, from a pharmacologic point of view, I would trade marijuana for alcohol in a heartbeat. I know from the point of view of violence, which we've been talking about, I've been to hundreds of calls for domestic violence, and almost 100% of them, either the offender or the victim or both, are drinking or drunk. I cannot recall a single episode of domestic violence I went to as a police officer where, yeah, he smoked some dope and beat the shit out of me. This doesn't happen. Why is that? It's interesting to speculate about that. It's not a difference in pharmacology. It's the way we've been socialized to behave when we use certain drugs. And we've been socialized. People say marijuana is not a violent drug. It doesn't. There's not a gene in marijuana that says violence or not violence. It's an inert substance. But we've learned how to behave in certain ways. And most of you all have had this experience. You know, you're sitting at a party and here it comes. And, you know, how am I going to behave? And you're watching other people to see how they act, aren't you? And here it comes. Here. Finally comes to you. And what do people do? Take a big hit, pass it on. Man, that's great stuff. Where's the Fritos? You know, that's not pharmacology. That's the way we learn to act. So the way we've learned to act with alcohol is guys get violent. Do women get violent? Some of them do, but women act much differently with alcohol than men do. It's not a result of physiologic differences. It's a result of social learning. You're not going to find a lot of police officers that are going to stand up and say, I think drugs should be legalized, because there's a strong prohibition in policing against getting involved in any kind of politics. So they're not going to stay at speaking to them privately. And, you know, we've had these conversations for years. My guessing is 40-50% are going to say, yeah, we're wasting our time. Yeah, we got to do it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, right now in the news and Border Patrol in El Paso, they're firing one of the officers. Because he mentioned we might straighten out this problem by legalizing it. And they're firing him for it. The ACLU's taking up the case now. Okay. And I think it comes from the top down.
Well,
telling them, you know.
Here's everybody familiar with Proposition 19 in California last fall? A couple things leading up to that. One is the federal government about a year ago now basically punted on medical marijuana. They sent out an advisory, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, sent out an advisory saying that the federal government would not prosecute any citizens for violating federal law where they were in compliance with state law. In other words, they weren't going to come down on people who were in the medical marijuana states. Proposition 19 in California on the ballot this past fall called for full legalization in California. 2 weeks before that election, the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, said, if that passes, the federal government will prosecute Californians who violate federal law. Very disappointing to me. I mean, it's federal arrogance that should never have got there. If Californians vote to legalize marijuana, God bless them and on with them. Isn't that freedom of choice in America? And for the Attorney General of the United States to say they're going to prosecute them federally because they don't have the policy is way out of line. Shouldn't have happened. But guess who was the other big supporter against legalization? Who poured in all the money at the last minute?
Budweiser?
Yeah. Beer distributors, beer manufacturers. They've got a very, very realistic sense of this. And I was in a conference in Kentucky with state legislators and talking to a guy from Kentucky, and he was talking about every year in his district they try to basically go from dry to wet, legalize alcohol in the county. And he says the big groups that always come out against it are who?
Bad.
Bootleggers and the churches. And I guarantee you, as this starts getting closer and more states start voting like this, you're going to see the cartels getting into some serious lobbying to try to keep drugs illegal. I mean, the money is just incredible, and they're benefiting from it, and all the rest of us are suffering from it.
Hi, I'm with the War on Drugs.
And I'm with Leap. Hey, I see you let that one get away.
Get away? What?
You let Michael Phelps go.
Oh, he's such a nice fella. But we're going after those other scum, though.
Yes. The wrong crowd we've heard so much about.
Those bastards just sitting there doing drugs.
Doesn't justice demand equal treatment under the law?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, how would it look, given a prison sentence or even probation to an Olympic gold medalist?
Yeah, what harm was he doing?
Right. I mean, well, he was hanging out with drug dealers, that's what he was doing.
Throw the book at him.
I can't.
Throw the book at them.
Now you're talking. Send our kids a message.
Yeah, swim faster.
Hi, I'm the Burn Man, and this is Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM and WBQC.org, the voice of the Queen City.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and the Potsberry Dope Boy Pot and Hash. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on WBQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. To help end Cincinnati's harmful marijuana ordinance, please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Potsberry Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WBQC-LP is Jay Allday with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WBQC-LP Cincinnati.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
95.7 FM.
Better. Stronger. Faster.